Welcome. My name is Dr. Steph, and this is just a conversation with what we call courageous capital stewards. And I'm super excited to sit down on this beautiful Sunday and have a conversation with Praful Shah. Praful, we have known each other now. I don't even know when we first met.
One of these early Prafulio gatherings you came back.
It was one of your...
Yeah.
It was. The second time I met Wendy Burkhart. I think that was probably 2015, 2016. You've been on this impact investing journey for a long time, but just to give our listeners a brief background about you, tell us a little bit more about where you were born and what your life was like growing up.
Oh, okay. I want to make sure I get this done in 15 minutes or so. So, yeah, I grew up in a small village in India, finished high school there, came here for college in New York City, studied chemistry, and spent my whole life as a scientist in pharmaceutical and biotech companies. Started my career at Pfizer, which I'm sure you heard of it, with the vaccine, and ended up my career at the Gilead Sciences, which had the antiviral drug. So I feel pretty good about it. I retired in 2007 and just been helping out startup companies since then.
It's an amazing biography, story, life, journey. Do you want to tell us about, like, when you were a little kid, what you thought your life would be like? Tell us a little bit, like, when you're 4 or 5, 6 years old.
Oh, my life now has been beyond my imagination. Where I grew up, in a small village, the only interaction or the connection I had with the outside world was the newspaper, because we did not have electricity or running water where I grew up. So I was voracious, just going to the library and reading the newspapers. Fortunately, our school started about 10:45 in the morning. So I had enough time in the morning to go to the library. The library was not any bigger than my dining room. Just at one table, had three newspapers, and had a small cabinet with maybe 100 books or so. So I just imagined what would it be like to be out there. I just dreamed about it, and somehow the opportunity came about to come here.
And tell us a little bit more about how the opportunity came about for you to go to school in New York.
Unfortunately, my parents passed away when I was in high school. My mother passed away just when I was finishing up, when I finished. And I had a brother in New York City. So I wrote him a letter saying, you know, I'm here by myself. Don't really have much plans what to do or anything. So see if he can send me a ticket. And of course, he was kind enough to not only send me the ticket, but let him stay with him and took care of all my visa and got me started here. So thank you.
Thank you, brother, course, for all of us. Yeah.
As the karma has it, he passed away, and his two daughters, my nieces, have moved here to live around here.
And they're extraordinary women too, which is even a greater story. I'm reading a book by Malcolm Gladwell called David and Goliath right now. And he talks in there about near misses. I lost my parents in my 20s, and talks a lot about people who lost their parents 15 or younger. And almost a little bit like when you have a near miss, sometimes a near miss can destroy somebody, and sometimes it can actually launch somebody to do extraordinary things because it gives them courage. So how did you go from being a scientist in pharmaceuticals? I mean, that path seems a little bit something that could have happened. You can follow that logic, but how did you get to Colorado, and describe your first ever investment you made? Like, how did you get on this track of, I'm going to be an investor?
So came to Colorado to work for a biotech company in Boulder. And I worked for that company And that company did not survive. Worked for a second other biotech company that did not survive. The third biotech company, this all happened within the span of 4 years. The third one got acquired by Gilead Sciences. And I had a chance to, so of course they helped me out quite a bit, and a chance to do something different. Having my parents passed away in their 50s, I was in my 50s, and I said, this is an opportunity for me to do something different. As for the investment, it was sheer accident. A couple of my friends said, oh, you should, you know, invest in this company, which is internet, a fast moving company. It's going to do fantastic, and I'll just never have to worry about money or retirement. And I did not know much about, I did not even know the word angel investing. So I invested in this fast internet speed company, and it was based on the fact that we are here in Boulder, and it takes nanoseconds to create the, or execute the orders in Wall Street, and how can we expedite that? Anyway, turns out, then as another company, I want to finish the story, within a few months, I came across this other company called Bhakti Chai, which was founded by a woman, divorced, her two-year-old twins. And she had learned about making this chai from India. So this, I just, oh, you know, I'm going to make so much money in this security internet company. I said, oh, sure, I'll help her out. And turns out this internet company, I lost everything. And the woman I was helping out, Bhakti Chai, she did phenomenal. So I learned my lesson fast that if I try to make money, I lose it. If I try to help out, I do well. So ever since then, I've focused on helping out. Another thing which, you know, learned after a few more investments is the fact that I feel really bad if I was investing for making money versus if I'm investing to help out. Because if I'm helping out, you know what, I was helping out, it's great. It's essentially thinking of it as a charity. So, you know what, just helping out. It doesn't feel so bad. So I've probably have 85 or so investments now over the years in the word of mouth, basically. I don't exactly go out soliciting any investments. All the wonderful people like you and other clubs around here, they send me all the wonderful deals.
They do. We do. I actually started a company called Lead Lemmings. And it's really, when I think of a lead lemming, I think of you, Praful, of the person that goes in first and others that follow in after them. And I there's that saying, doing well by doing good. And it seems like you're kind of flipping that script a little bit. You're like, I'm going to do good and I'll do well, which is...
Yes. Thank you. Which, I've been incredibly fortunate to just run into all these wonderful companies. They're doing amazing. And of course, I help out a lot more companies founded by women. And that came about a little few after I had a few investments when I noticed the big gap on how the companies were doing, what was going on, and realized not only are they doing amazing work and making money, and sadly, they do not get enough investment, enough help. So that was another incentive for me to help them out. But I tell all my investor friends that the main reason for investing in female-founded companies is to make money. They take the least amount of money and they return the most.
I love that. The women-led companies take the least amount of money for investment and they make the most money. That's super well said. Of your 85 companies you have, Praful, what percentage do you think are women-led versus non-women-led, or impactful versus non-impactful?
When you think about impactful, I would say about 85 to 90% are impactful. Other 10-15%, I haven't looked at the numbers, but roughly, are just friends. You know, like the very first company I was telling about, the Wall Street security, that was not impactful. That was just friends. I have a couple of other companies, One is in Australia, one is here, which are just friends in West. But I would say almost 85%, I would say at least impactful. Mm. It must have impact.
You know, let's talk about kind of the scene in Colorado for a minute. You know, we met in 2015 and that was first, let me thank you publicly for donating, which we call a negative 100% financial return investment into Impact Finance Center. You were one of our annual donors for 3 years for, I believe, $5,000, a Founder Circle member. And I know that's typically not the type of investment you do. So I was very grateful for your support, because I remember thinking at the time, you know, it wasn't like we could say, oh, we're going to do like what they did over in Minnesota or what they did in Massachusetts or they did in California. It was really this kind of unknown journey that we were going on. When you think about what's happened since 2015 to 2022, a lot's changed in Colorado. What are the things that most inspire you and the people that inspire you? Because I know of the 150 plus investors we've helped activate to become impact investors, I would think a good 125 of those are based in Colorado. So, yeah. So what do you think about the last 7 years? What's happened and in terms of what inspires you?
Well, first of all, you were one of an exception that actually donated the money. And it's just because I invest so much in startup company and impactful companies. And of course, those are impact investments, but also know that they are not much more likely to make some money. And, you know, if I get my money back, I'm really happy.
Yeah.
So when you came along and you talked about the concept, I said, oh, well, this is fantastic. Well, that's exactly what I've been looking for, something like that. Before IFC, there was Impact Hub in Boulder. And again, there, it was set up as a company, but it was more of a nonprofit. And their concept, again, was somewhat similar, where you just bring in the impact-oriented people. I think you had taken one step beyond, not only just think about it, but actually bring in literally 100 impact-oriented companies and have exposed them to people like myself. And that was phenomenal, Baijo. Thank you. What has changed in the last 7 years? Biggest thing is people, investors are actually investing in women-founded companies. That to me is, and I feel just fantastic. Oh, it's like, okay, the message is finally getting there. And of course, it took so many years to show the successful outcome. Other one is the understanding of impact. Just because they are impact-oriented company doesn't mean you're going to lose money. Doesn't even mean that you're not going to make money. In fact, I was just thinking about some of the winners I had last few years, including the one big one. Yeah, I think it was early last year, a company called TeamSnap. And it started out, of course, it eventually became an intranet for sports and sports club, but really started out when I talked to the founder, David DuPont, was to help out the divorced parents. I did not realize how complicated it is for the divorced parents to keep track of their children's sports and game venue and what's going on. One child is doing this, and it was at least when they started, this is, you know, back 2009, 2010, it was a pretty complicated problem. There wasn't artificial intelligence. There weren't that many internet savvy folks. And he came up with a simple solution where the both divorced parents can keep track of the child's games, where it is, how it's changing, what time it should be there. And of course, the company moved on to a lot more things, and it was acquired substantially over $100 million.
That's amazing.
Yes, that's another one was, well, I don't know if you want me to
talk about all that. Yeah, please do. Absolutely.
Yeah. We can. You can edit all these extras from
It's great. So you said TeamSnap. Team Snap was acquired for how much?
Way over $100 million. I'm not supposed to give out the exact numbers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's but amazing.
Private equity. Yeah.
What are some of the other? Yeah. What are some of the other companies that?
It's over the years, I heard a lot. I mean, you know, I've been very fortunate. That's part of the reason I can continue to do what I'm doing is there are along the way there are enough winners that provide me incentive and capital to help out more companies. And some of them, I don't really wait for the exit. Another company, of course, all of these are local companies, which was providing, and this was also about 8-10 years ago, providing capital for small businesses to have solar panels. Of course, that's a lot easier now, but back then it was a big deal to get the capital for them to, okay, you know, get the solar panels, everything is taken care of. And they were basically an intermediary trying to get the funding from investors. They did really well. They're still in business. When they were raising Series B round, it was oversubscribed and they're doing phenomenal. So I just say, I like to sell my shares so I can help out some more companies. And they understood that they said, they know exactly what I do. I was one of the first guy to write their checks and this is what I want to do. So got out. And since the money I made, I was able to help at least 5 or 6 companies from that. And it's thankful to them, that company. Other one, which was a college kid out of CU, just starting out some travel company. He thought there were enough travel internet company that there's really no market for it, but she was a college kid. I like how enthusiastic and how intelligent he was. So I said, I basically wrote a check thinking I'll never hear from him. And we actually didn't hear from him for a while. And all of a sudden he calls me up and says, needs my bank information. Because they got acquired. So that was, it was a really small check, I think like $10,000. And I made like 5-6x out of that. That was pretty nice.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It's nice, yeah.
So do you think No, what you were going to say, you said you were
Helping out some kid, you know, helping out and out of nowhere, actually, the money comes in, which actually feels really good because I had really written off that check as, okay, just helping out some kids.
How big do you think your portfolio would get? Like, do you feel like it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger? Or do you think of it like, okay, I'm going to have 85 to 100 companies and then I'm going to wait till others are acquired and recycle it into others. How do you think about that?
That's an interesting question. I have not thought about it. As long as the money comes in, it just goes out. I have, of course, as an accredited investor, I have to maintain certain cash. So that stays out and everything else just recycles. So as long as the money is coming in, which I'm looking at, I think probably, and I have the wherewithal to keep track of them mentally, I should be doing it probably another at least 5 years, maybe if not more.
That's great. So with Colorado Impact Days, it was a 3-year pilot. And so we used to do 70 events, you know, every 18 months. And so we were doing events, Impact Boulder was doing events, Social Venture Circle was doing events, which used to be Investor Circle with, before it merged with Social Venture Network. Rumor has it, and you're going to clarify that rumor.
It's ASBN now.
Now it's ASBN.
But Investor Circle name is back on again. So we are Investor Circle again, which is a part of ASBN.
How important do you think is having people doing events like that and hosting events in communities in terms of getting the investors together, the social ventures together, what you did, having Impact Hub? going. I mean, I know of a couple of firms that even moved to Colorado because we have such an exciting impact investing scene. How important is it to have those events going on?
I think it's very, very important. And that's why I wrote the first check at Impact Hub when he was there. And that's part of the reasons I made a donation, small donations to IFC. As the communities grow and people meet each other, unless there is a specific place for like-minded people can get together, it doesn't expand. It's you know, as simple as that. You got a baseball stadium or you got a basketball arena. I want to come back to arena in a minute. A basketball arena or something, then all of a sudden people see that. So yeah, the kids want to go in and just play in there, you know. It's the same thing with the impact-oriented places. And that's what I'm thinking, like maybe if I had the time, money, and desire is there, the oomph, the spunk, spirit to move forward or get people like you to have some kind of something along the line of Impact Arena where everybody, you know, just having in Boulder, Denver area where people just says, oh, if you want to learn about impact, we just go there. You know, right mm-hmm. now it's IFC, which is fantastic. And of course, a lot of other places. If IFC has a place with Impact Arena, we could bring a lot more people in it. I think it's the awareness. I think you may have talked in the past about awareness. You need yep. aware. You need to get a lot more people aware. You know, talk about impact, just investing, angel investing in general. You know, less than 3% of the accredited investors actually doing angel investing. So we have 97% of the people who are very well off. They don't do angel investing. In the lot center, that's just one issue. And among the people who do angel investing, only less than 5% actually do impact investing.
That makes complete sense. I don't know how many accredited investors there are in Colorado. If you look at just Google how many millionaires there are, and I'm sure they're including the real estate ownership on that. It says we have, I believe, 158,000 millionaires. Imagine if, you know, if we had 1% of our wealth in Colorado invest in Colorado. I've done some back of the envelope calculations, and it would be $5 billion.
Oh, definitely, and it'd just be helping out. We have enough capital to help out all the people who need money.
I didn't realize this at the time, you know, like you, I was a scientist who tried to solve a problem, or a recovering scientist. And that's where I saw the problem that, wow, there's a lot of great things to invest in, but there aren't enough investors. And so our focus was, how do we grow more investors? And then how do we convene and bring them together in a marketplace? And so for people who are familiar with accelerators, we would say we're an investor accelerator. If Techstars as an accelerator identifies, educates, and invests in entrepreneurs, Impact Finance Center identifies, educates, and activates individuals and organizations to become impact investors, and co-invest with people like you, Praful. I think that the last 2 years, I've been really fortunate. Actually, you know, Randy Welch, who is he led a son father and social enterprise with his son called Jibu. And at one point when he was transitioning from an active leadership role with Jibu, I said, oh, Randy, you should come and run Impact Finance Center or join the team. And he ended up talking me the other direction to be in a peer group called Vistage, which is a group of CEOs. And so I'm in a group of 16 with 16 other CEOs. And this week, they're actually going to announce, I was selected as the top CEO for our Vistage group. And then awesome. I was selected as the top CEO for the state of Colorado for 1 to 3 years. So they'll be announcing that award on coming up this week. And what I love about Vistage is, one, I feel like it makes being a CEO a team sport. So there's now 16 other CEOs that I help out and they help out me. It's really helped me learn how to become a CEO. And in there, one of my colleagues and friends is another CEO, Jessica Daniels, which I look forward to connecting you to. She is one of the social enterprises she's launching is called Success Collective. And it's essentially a vestige for solo entrepreneurs. So I think of my amazing Allie, my amazing massage therapist, or Josie, the amazing esthetician that cuts my hair. They're going on the same journey to become CEOs of their small businesses and grow. And I think the importance of having peer CEOs to learn from is just so important at whatever stage you're at from that perspective. So super grateful for having the system that we do, especially I know we're really fortunate in Colorado to have the system we do of so many impactful people doing so many impactful things. The other thing that's great about Colorado is if somebody wants to get to set up a meeting with you, it's possible, right? Like imagine if we were in New York City or San Francisco, approval.
Right.
Yeah. And there's nothing like meeting people in person. Yeah. And my days typically are fun, booked with just startup CEOs and making connection. I typically see or hear pitches from at least 100 companies per year, if not more, just being part of it. So I can't invest in all of those companies, but at least I talk to them and ask the questions that they'll be asked again and help them provide some answers.
Okay. Praful, as we're kind of closing down this interview, this first of many interviews I know we'll do together, what advice do you have for people that are just, they lead with their heart, they have some resources, whether they've inherited them, they've earned them over their career, or they sold a company, and they're just dipping their toe into this impact investing. What's your advice for them as they're going on the journey?
First and foremost philosophy to keep in mind is that when you die, you're going to leave everything behind. So that's a tough fact that we must keep in mind. And I think that's so if you keep that in mind, okay, you're going to leave everything behind. So why don't we just do something good with it? If they've already decided they're going to do something good with it, then they're already there. And once they've decided they want to impact investing, then of course, so awareness is the biggest factor, which obviously you are involved in that. And then next thing is to get education. I'm always available for anybody who wants to do impact investor investing. And there are lots of people like myself who wants to do that. And that's going back to your earlier question about having the gathering for impact investors or invest in general. It's very helpful, especially when you're starting out first few years, because once you make an investment, typically it's going to take at least five, more like 8 to 10 years before you see the returns. And you don't really have that much time to learn all the lessons. So it'll be wise to get in touch with people like myself who have made all the mistakes so you don't make the same mistakes.
So well said, Praful. So well said. And you are so accessible. And that's what's great about Colorado. I joke that you're not joke, but Colorado, you're one or two meetings away from the governor. Like you can find somebody who knows the governor and people are still really available and willing to help out and help connect people, help, you know, through their time, their treasure and their talent. Praful, thank you for spending this time with me. Thank you for all that you do. Having you in my life has been a great joy. I haven't thanked people like you enough. Impact Finance Center is on track to grow triple digit growth this year ourselves and potentially three sources of annual recurring revenue. And we'll be announcing, we're also going to launch a another for-profit company, which is the first independent trust company in the world. And our working title on that is called Trustworthy. So it's an independent trust company focused on impact investing. And so Impact Finance Center will be under the Trustworthy Foundation as a social enterprise. We're super excited about taking the good work we've done in Colorado and going on to expand that. We're doing a huge project nationally with climate and forests. We're doing a ton of work in Massachusetts and New England, also in California, and of course our work with our native communities with the Oista Corporation. So when I think about what you do, you plant so many seeds and you get to watch as these seeds grow into incredible social enterprises and have impactful things that help so many people. So thank you, Praful, for everything you've done.
Thank you.